Psalm 40 is a psalm of David in which David commits himself to doing the will of God because God had delivered him. It is a psalm written for the choir director, which means this was to be publicly communicated to the people of God. Now, David believed that sooner or later, you may always count on God to come to the rescue of his people. David had experienced some major victory God had granted him, and because of this, he anticipated that God would again deliver him. If we could sum up what David communicates in the Psalms, it seems to be something like this. The fact that we have experienced victories in the present should give us the trust and confidence that we will experience victories in the future. If we analyze the last three Psalms, we may observe that Psalm 38 presents a deserved depression because of sin. Psalm 39 presents a desired delight in spite of sin. And Psalm 40 presents dramatic deliverance from that which is sinful. We can dissect this psalm into some parts here. David discusses what God did for him. Listen to this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. God had dramatically delivered David and blessed David, and there are at least five wonderful blessings that David mentions in these verses. First of all, God delivered David after David had patiently waited. The Hebrew indicates David waited and waited. God's deliverance is rarely immediate because one of the purposes of the trials and troubles is to teach his people to patiently endure and trust in him. God moves after his people have learned patient waiting. Don't take action too quick. We must learn to wait on God. And then God delivered David after David emotionally prayed. One thing we see over and over again in the Psalms is that David went directly to God and cried out to him. We want to see God's great delivering power, and we must do the same thing. God delivered David from terrible and helpless circumstances. Miry clay is clay that is slimy, slippery, and swampy. It's dirty, and it's dingy, and it's dangerous. David was slipping and sliding, and he could not do one thing himself to get out of the condition except to cry to God. And when he did, God rescued him. Remember, there's no situation or circumstance that is helpless or hopeless when it comes to God. No matter what state we are in, we may always turn to God even when we feel helpless. And then God delivered David to a state that was stable. God took David from his insecure life that was slipping in miry clay and planted his feet on firm ground. No more slipping and sliding. God delivered David. God delivered David to a song that was joyful. We may recall in the previous psalm, David wanted to smile again. Well, not only was he smiling, he was singing. God put a new song of praise in the mouth of David. It was a song of praise to God, not a song about man. David no longer had to pray about all of the negatives, but he could now praise God for all the positives. David would sing about all God had done, and others would see, and they'd fear, and they'd trust in the Lord. When God comes to the rescue, his people that have patiently waited on him, it is a sweet moment. It does put a new song in your mouth, and word spreads about all God did. Many see it and put their trust in God. And then David discusses what man must do to be blessed of God. Look at verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. In these verses, we get a very practical and personal look at what one must do in order to see God work in such dramatic fashion. Look at these actions. One must be willing to trust the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God or move God. God wants us trusting Him and believing in Him that He is able to help us and assist us. One must be willing to turn away from those who are proud. We must never run with the proud and arrogant who trust in themselves and mock God. We will never see God do anything if that is the kind of people with whom we run. We need to be humble, dependent people. And one must be willing to turn away from any falsehood. God will not ever bless a liar. God will not help those who are living a false life. In order to move God, there must be honesty and integrity. No one will get anywhere with God who lies. God demands truth about sin, truth about problems, truth about struggles. This is the key to a relationship with God. There's a man by the name of Dr. Thomas Constable who said this: the person who does not rely on the self-sufficient or liars, but puts his complete trust in the Lord, that's the one who experiences great blessings. And one must have a high and holy concept of God. One who may expect to see God do dramatic things is one who will elevate God. One of the things that will amaze one right with God is the fact that God would have anything to do with any human. We need to stand in awe of who God is and what He is capable of doing. We should marvel at all the works of God. God does not move to the prayers of people who bring Him down to their level. He moves to those who offer prayers up to Him at His level. In spite of all of the problems which David faced, one thing was for sure: David stood in total awe of the greatness of God. And one must be willing to obey the Word of God. We know for a fact that these verses may be specifically applied to Jesus Christ because the writer of Hebrews teaches that. Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed the Word of God and then sacrificed Himself. One who is not willing to obey the Word of God is one who will never see God do great and mighty things in his or her life. God is not impressed with religious sacrifices or ritualistic worship. All the false religions preach sacrifice and morality, and all of it is useless. Now, the things named in verse 6 are religiously impressive things, but to God, the animal sacrifices, the offerings, and the worship was meaningless if they were not offered with a commitment to oneself. It is one thing to offer things and give things. It's quite another to give self to God. God wants people who love Him and His Word and obey it. Those are the people who are after His own heart. And one must be willing to witness for God. Notice that even when David was going through difficulties, he still continued to speak out and speak up for God. He testified of the goodness of God and the grace of God. David testified of God's righteousness, faithfulness, and salvation. When opportunities presented themselves, he continued to speak up for God. He told people that when they are low, they can turn to God and He will deliver them. He became a verbal ambassador for the Lord. God moves for those who speak for Him. God wants us witnessing and defending Him, whether on the job or in the classroom. God is looking for those who speak up for Him. God wants us speaking of His salvation. And then David discusses what God will do for the one who seeks Him. Verse 11. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation and say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. There are five specific benefits that David brings out concerning those who seek him. God will not withhold his compassion, even though that person is sinful. David had failed and sinned against God, but when he turned to God, he was compassionate. And God will grant continual instruction and preservation, even though he is sinful. Talking about David, this is a pure grace benefit. Even though we have committed more sins in our lives than the number of hairs on our head, and even though our own heart has failed us, when we turn to the Lord, he grants us his mercy, his truth, and his preservation. Our sins are too numerous for us to calculate, but one who seeks God will discover God will do wonderful things with him and for him. God will be pleased to grant speedy deliverance to help one who trusts him. God will bring shame and humiliation to those who dishonor his people. David could not identify all of his enemies personally, but they hated him and God. God will bring understanding and uniting to those who seek him. When people turn to the Lord and see him work, it is cause for rejoicing, encouragement, and praise. In verse 17, David asked for the Lord to be mindful of him. He was afflicted and he needed God's help. He was looking to God for quick relief, and his prayer was that God would deliver him sooner rather than later. Even in times of trouble and tragedy, God will still provide blessings to those who love him and trust him. Complete deliverance from all trouble to ultimate blessings is never instant. God's deliverance comes in the worst possible times and trouble, so we must always persevere and trust him. And be careful who we associate with. Proud God mockers and Bible rejectors can move you away from the blessings of God. And then when God gives deliverance, we should testify it to others.